I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All righty, hour number two. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney company from our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. As we get into the World Series here, get out the red, white, and blue bunting. I love it. World Series time. You've got the pesky Rays versus the storied, fabled Dodgers, Koufax, Drysdale, Garvey, Ron Say, and Fernando Valenzuela, Kirk Gibson, and Oral Hershiser, and all the names and luminaries to this most current iteration, many of whom are still on the team, obviously, with three pennants and three trips to the World Series despite no wins. And there you have the Tampa Rays, who build their team differently out of necessity and have somehow gotten to the same exact destination as the big, bad Dodgers. I can't wait for this, man. I'm fired up.
Yeah, it is going to be an amazing series, mainly because of the talent that we're going to witness, really on both sides, but we'll focus on the Dodgers because of all of the bangers that they have, and the, you know, from Bellinger and Seager and Taylor, like everybody can hit and you know, drive in runs. Their staff is good, questionable, and it's obviously the Clayton Kershaw conversation will come up, but you know that it's that versus this acumen, this managerial acumen of Kevin Cash and his ability to manage his players, the expectations, the bullpen, and just make the play when you need to. It's like every guy seems accountable because I think they're all hungry. And a lot of that comes back to payroll. And, you know, when you're not making as much, it's easier to not have divided experiences in a locker room, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. You know, cause, and so I think there's a uniqueness to this matchup because it almost feels like the haves, the Dodgers, versus the have-nots in the Tampa Bay Rays, who've only been to the World Series one time. The Dodgers have been here, you know, a gazillion times.
That's right.
But they just can't win it, at least not recently.
No, they got to win this one. There is pressure. Don't tell me, you know, it's the World Series and anything can happen. This is not marginalizing, diluting the amazing accomplishment by the Tampa Rays. Trust me, we watched every inning against our Yankees. I was terrified coming into the series. As soon as that last out was I watched them, you know, beat the crap out of us all year, have our number. As soon as that last out was recorded, I tweeted the better team won, which yep. I firmly believe. You saw that tweet. I read it on the air. But this is a little different because the Dodgers, I think, too, are better than the Yankees. And the Dodgers collectively have been there together. They've had this core is, you know, whether it's Turner, whether it's Bellinger, whether it's Kershaw, you know, Buehler's a little new to the scene. Bullpen, some moving parts. I get it. But, you know, even Hernandez comes off the bench, hits the bomb the other night. He's been around for a couple of years. I mean, it's Taylor. These guys have been around for a while. Same skipper, whereas the Yankees, you know, DJ LeMahieu's new and Stanton's kind of new, et cetera. I think that I was looking at the numbers. It's incredible. The prorated aspect of the payroll here. The Yankees was $109 million this season.
Yep.
The Dodgers was 107. The Rays was 28th out of 30th in Major League Baseball, ahead of only the Pirates and the Orioles, $28 million.
Wow.
That's the return on the investment, the same path that the Dodgers took. And, you know, you could tell me all you want about Kershaw, but there's also pressure on Dave Roberts. And let's face it, I love the attitude. But we will not forget these bold words from Dave. Now you need to back it up. Robert soaking in the championship series win and the World Series berth, and he punctuates it at the end.
have a lot of work to do, but for the Dodger fans that are here, the ones that aren't here, we love you, we're thinking about you, and this year is our year. This is our year.
And that was energizing. But Dave, now you got to handle it. And I believe the Dodgers will win. And I actually believe the Dodgers will win this series somewhat easily.
Wow, really?
I do. I do.
It's hard to say that. I mean, I don't want to see it easy. I don't want to see like a sweep. I want to see a series.
I don't want to see it, but you know.
I want to see a chess match, because I think that's how the Tampa Bay Rays, that's how they keep this interesting, is if they make it a chess match. And we know Kevin Cash is as good as anybody in baseball at doing that. And he's going to have his work cut out for him. If they are to be in it, I agree with you, though, in theory, the LA Dodgers just have so many advantages. One being experience. And I mentioned this before, that the Rays have only been in the World Series one other time.
Mm-hmm.
The Dodgers
2008.
Have been, yep, 2008. And think about this, 12 years ago, there's nobody on that team. Maybe even in the organization. You know, I guess maybe a couple of people in the organization.
Maybe a few scouts, but yeah. No, certainly no players.
Right. There's nobody has that experience. Whereas the Dodgers have been here for the last couple of years, or a couple of times over the last few years. And so it just feels like the Dodgers have a significant advantage. They have the pressure. They have the experience. They have the talent, as you were just mentioning, all those guys. And they also have, you know, Clayton Kershaw. And Clayton Kershaw is this enigma and how we want to think about him in the postseason, because everything we talk about is just a bad. It's just, you know, his ERA, the fourth highest ERA of any starter in World Series history, which is 4.3, and you know, which is so different from how he is in the regular season, where he's fantastic, he's great,
yep.
You know, one of the best of all time, but something always seems to click off. Some of it is, you know, leaving, you know, batters in scoring position, and then he gets pulled and it's not on him, but still a lot of it is on him. And we've seen it year over year, but it hasn't always been that way. I mean, I was just looking at these stats, and we got some previews for this, and this really jumps off the page. And he has 9 career postseason starts where he allows 1 run or fewer, which is the 8th most all time. And it's only Clemens and Verlander and Smoltz, who we'll have coming up here in a little bit on the show, that are above him on that. And then 10 Ks, he said 6 times in the postseason. So he's done some really great things in the postseason. It just feels like there's always this narrative that he's gonna let you down in the 6th inning. And this is why, when we talked about this yesterday, or maybe it was, must have been yesterday because today's Tuesday, this is why Dave Roberts has so much pressure on him, because he's got to be like inside of Clayton Kershaw's head. And don't trust what Clayton Kershaw says. You better be there, and you better have an instinct that we've kind of discounted in baseball, but you better have that with Clayton Kershaw as he starts game one.
Listen, he's had a lot of mystifyingly, erratic before, at least erratic image innings, I should say. I mean, it's been very rare. It's not like Kershaw's going out there and he's throwing up on himself, and it's like 1 1/3 innings, 7 hits, 7 runs, 4 walks. You're not seeing that. You're just seeing, usually, generally speaking, the one inning of implosion where a couple of the guys get on base. Maybe, the runs will go on his resume, but maybe he leaves, and this happened the other night, put a few guys on, one of which was a base hit that he almost got. It was like a 3-hopper. And then Freeman got a relatively hard hit ball to right field. I know Martinez kind of minimized, it wasn't hit well. It was an exit velo of 110. It was actually hit pretty well, Skip. But I do think, too, that you look at how we can frame certain things, and while much of the framing around Kershaw's Octobers are negative, he does have 11 postseason wins, which in the 25 years since the wild card era was born, only Verlander and Andy Pettit, who was in the playoffs every single year and pretty much the World Series every year with the Yankees, only 2 guys have more postseason wins in the last 25 years. That's a lot. That's a lot of wins, but there's also the 11-11 record with an ERA that's well over 4. And not commensurate with what, as you properly point out, is one of the all-time great iconic careers. There's inconsistencies, and that's what I can't wait to get into with John Smoltz, who will join us next here. Here's why. Let me just back up why I think this is going to be a short series, all right? Now, if the script is flipped tonight, then obviously I would change my tune entirely. But I know I said Clayton Kershaw was going to pitch really well last time out. I know I said that. But I think he'll pitch really well tonight. There's a big advantage. The Rays don't know him. Mm. They don't know his repertoire. They don't know his arsenal.
Good point.
You know, and usually when he stumbles, inning six, inning seven, this year it was inning six. Usually it's inning seven, didn't get an out in the sixth inning. You know, I just, listen, Arozarena, that guy, he's hitting mistakes 400 feet, so you better be careful with him. But, you know, if Choi's playing first base, and I don't even know if he will be against the lefty necessarily, he could be, you should be able to work around him. You know, Kiermaier, you don't have to worry about him. Great outfielder, he's not going to hit much. You know, Zunino's going to chase as a catcher. I feel like these matchups, and I really very rarely, number one, nobody wants to hear it because it's boring radio. I very rarely get into, as a baseball guy, Teague, these matchups, I don't even know if you've ever heard me say this.
Yeah.
Like, these matchups really favor so-and-so.
Yeah.
I don't waste my time.
Yeah, we don't talk about it that much.
I really think they favor Kershaw tonight.
Yeah,
I
mean, Tyler Glasnow is not, you know.
I'm not saying that he's not going to pitch well.
Yeah.
I just think that Kershaw is going to pitch better.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. You know, the Glasnow hasn't had ERA-wise, he hasn't had a great postseason. It's 4-6, 4-6-6 this postseason. But they've won three out of his four starts. So it's just the resiliency of their squad that makes up for some of his mistakes, whereas Clayton Kershaw hasn't necessarily gotten that. He doesn't get the run support maybe that the Rays give some of their starting pitchers. So mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. There's a lot of subplots to this series as it starts tonight, but you know, Clayton Kershaw is front and center, obviously, because his name is so big. He's the Hall of Famer in this conversation.
He's on the marquee. All right, let me play this real quick. We'll break early. I mentioned the disparity in payroll earlier. Interesting cut from the Rays skipper, Kevin Cash, who we've got tremendous respect for. Listen to this perspective, then we'll get ready to talk to John Smoltz. Go ahead.
I don't think the payroll does. I think the talent of the rosters that we've gone up against, starting with Toronto, then New York, Houston, and now L.A.
And they are a worthy team.
I think you take it as we've been fortunate to get through three really good clubs. Here. We're going to be challenged here again for the fourth.
Going to come up a little short. But listen, we'll throw this all by the great John Smoltz, MLB Network analyst and Hall of Famer. He's going to join us next. We'll talk some more World Series. Hour two, Charles Davis, our CBS colleague. Right now, we're rolling with the series, Dodgers and the Rays. Smoltzy, he's on deck. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, or restoration project? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Their professional parts people will even test your battery free of charge when you visit an O'Reilly Auto Parts store. If your battery needs to be replaced, they can help you find the exact battery that fits your vehicle at a guaranteed low price. Like SuperStart batteries, exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a SuperStart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store and talk to one of their professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227 here on Tiki and Tierney, brought to you by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. Next hour, Charles Davis, our CBS colleague, doing the games with the Birdman, talk a little NFL. Right now, Tiki, always a pleasure hooking up with the Hall of Famer, great analyst. And that is John Smoltz, World Series champ. Smoltzy, welcome back. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No, listen, it's World Series. Come on. I mean, you're on the short list. Obviously, you don't have to thank us. Appreciate you coming on. We definitely enjoy it. You know, I mean, listen, I know that you've talked about this. I know you've analyzed this. And I just want to, like, set up the whole what is possibly in Kershaw's mind. And, you know, Bonds went through this, certainly with the Pirates. A-Rod went through this with the Yankees. Dave Winfield was crucified by Steinbrenner after his 81 failures after the big free agent contract. There's been a lot of hitters that have come up small in big moments that have not been commensurate with their regular season accomplishments. The difference, though, John, you know, the next game, you get four at-bats. You're back out there. With a pitcher like Kershaw, who's trying to slay this narrative – You got to wait 5 days, maybe six. I think it complicates it. More time to get in your own head. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. The postseason is its own monster. You're going to be the hero or the goat, and you got to be able to accept whatever comes with it. The narrative that you're talking about would be similar to if a regular season hitter, hit 400 for an average and then just hit 100 in the postseason. The reason I say that is Kershaw has dominated the regular season like we have never seen, but it's impossible to continue to dominate that many games in the postseason when it's totally played differently. Hitters don't give the bats away. Strike zone's different. The emotion, the attention, the detail is different. And I think sometimes, it has some quirky and weird games that Kershaw's had that kind of clouds the collective group or the way that he's pitched. And you know what else the narrative doesn't tell you? How many times he's pitched in relief or in 3 days rest, or the fact that early in his postseason career, he had to carry the Los Angeles Dodgers because they didn't have much like they have right now. So I don't buy too much into what Kershaw's postseason storyline is. I know that in this season alone, he's been really good. And they're going to talk about the collective ERA, which I get it, in the postseason and the World Series. It's 2.5 or 2 times higher than what it would be in the regular season. But for Clayton Kershaw, I think what he's learning, and I would guess what he's learning, is if he can just separate what everybody's been talking about and individually approach this game like it's the only game he has, he'll be fine. I just will put my money on Kershaw this time around versus what has been, a career first ballot Hall of Famer. The postseason, everybody locks in against a guy like that. And you do that against great hitters, too. You don't let them beat you. You isolate them. And some can handle it and some can't.
So we're talking to John Smoltz, obviously great career Hall of Famer. He's going to be on the call with Joe Buck. World Series is on Fox, begins tonight. Plus, MLB Network airs all the live coverage before and after every game. It's at Globe Life Field, so World Series is upon us, Teak.
John, we've seen so much bullpen days in baseball. We're seeing it now in the postseason, and Kevin Cash is the master at this. And, if you just put these two teams on paper, I mean, it clearly favors the LA Dodgers. Mookie Betts is now there over there, and he's been, took on almost an immediate leadership role, which is fantastic to see. But I wonder, if in your opinion, how much of the chess match can the Rays win here? Because that's the advantage that they have.
Yeah, they play a shorter game than everybody else, and that really is going to be the narrative for the Dodgers. You better have the lead by the fifth or sixth. They're going to make it look ugly if you don't. I mean, they can make it very difficult on a baseball team. They don't care who and what guy they bring out. They feel like the situation for the highest chance of success will bring in that guy, and that guy might come in the fifth or sixth. I don't always understand it, but when it works to the degree that the Rays have shown, then you can buy into it and realize that the last year and a half, they've been 63-0, some number like that, when they're ahead after six or seven. That number doesn't lie to the talent that they have and the strategy they implement. In a seven-game series, does it work if it goes seven? Well, it worked against Houston, even though they were up 3-0, but it can backfire if some of those guys just happen to not be right. I like the flow of a postseason guy. When he's going good, let my eyes determine the difference. But today, the knowledge and analytics drives those information and those changes, and you really can't argue with what the Rays have been doing. I will say this. They are defying a lot of things by getting here to the World Series. And what I mean by that is offensively, we've never seen a team strike out, and batting averages are really not conducive for a World Series champion. So that tells you what they do on the other side of the ball and how they protect leads and prevent runs.
But are they going to hit enough here, John?
Well, that's the big question. They do a nice job against off-speed pitches. They're not exactly the Dodgers on fastballs. They're opportunistic. They've only really had 1.5 guys be hot in the last series. And what they do is they're comfortable in close games. They win 2-1, 2-0, 5-4. They're not fazed by the moment. And so that gives them an advantage, especially now that the place is not packed and the intention, the adrenaline, and all the things that come along with it. I just think you got to give them credit for the way they are and what they bought into. It doesn't seem
that the long-term vision of the Rays, they've self-corrected. It's amazing to me how they've self-corrected. 3 years ago, they wouldn't let their starters go pitch, you know, through the lineup three times. Then they found out they exposed their bullpen. So then they went and got some stud starters and some stud bullpen. I mean, they basically covered that area that analytically speaks to how you get 27 outs.
So that's John Smoltz, Hall of Famer. Smoltz, he's in the booth, obviously. Joe Buck tonight, World Series on Fox and Game 1. And great wraparound wall-to-wall coverage, MLB Network, as you're accustomed to. And John is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. So, all right, let's face it. They're never going to, and I was throwing some numbers at Tiki before in terms of prorated payroll on the year. You know, Yanks were like $109 million. Dodgers were $107. The league average is right around $59 million. The Rays were 28th out of 30th in front of the Pirates and the Orioles at around $28 million. So their economic model is never going to really change much. Listen, Smoltz, I love the Dodgers to win this. I think Kershaw is going to be lights out tonight. I think they win this series rather easily, and I really respect the Rays because I watch them torment my Yankees a lot. I know they're good, but I think the Dodgers do win. However, if the Rays did win, is it naive to think that, well, listen, this might spur some new economic, you know, revenue or streams that changes how they structure the roster, or are they just going to always do it like this?
No, I think what they do better than most is they have young, dynamic players that are impactful and ready. So those young players obviously don't have huge contracts yet, and they're able to find the right guys that other teams don't really think fit their system. They're a system-driven team. It's like a quarterback goes to one other NFL team, and he, for whatever reason, that system doesn't fit him, and he looks bad. And I think that's what they identify. That's what they've maximized. I mean, honestly, the running joke is if the GM for the Rays calls your team and they want to talk about trading a guy for you, you hang up because they're winning all the trades. They're winning all the moves, it seems like. So it's a credit to them. But I don't think it's a model that you're going to see sustainability throughout long times. Like, they're going to have to do a lot more of this to be able to sustain a long window of opportunities. And I give them all the credit in the world because they have been a beast. Like, this is no fluke this year.
Nope.
They were the best team in the American League for a reason. And on paper, it certainly looks like the Dodgers have more depth and are favored. But this is one of those teams you don't want to play.
Yeah.
I think that could kind of be their model. You know, you don't want to play us. It doesn't matter what our payroll is because we're going to make life miserable for you. You might beat us, but we're going to make it miserable.
Yeah, do you think that this would, if we played 162, you think this matchup is the same? I think people could see the Dodgers. You think the Rays would still be here?
I do, because they have prototypical starters that they could depend on. It's one thing in a 60-game schedule. I know they had, you know, 15, 14 relievers you can put because of the extra guys on the roster. I think that would not have changed the way they played baseball throughout the year. They might have been a little bit more to the best in the sense that they would have played it straight and not particularly had. But they have 13 guys that got a save for them this year, or have had 13 guys. That's incredible. So that just speaks to the flexibility they have and really the buy-in, because I'm not going to lie, you know, I love what they're doing. I don't know if I could have been a starting pitcher coming out of 60 pitches dominating. I don't know that I would have had. I'd have probably been a little hot under the collar, but they seem to be okay with, because the bullpen is loaded, you know. Luckily, I pitched in a different era.
Yeah, and you know, while they're going, I know you have to go, but as you're going through, as they're going through this, their resumes aren't really established yet. You're probably answering that or what you just said through the eyes of a Hall of Famer, a great starter, a World Series champion, a great reliever. You know, if 23-year-old John Smoltz is told to do something, I'm sure that Smoltz is going to do it.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, the system today is definitely what the players are trying to thrive in. 100% agree. It just was a different time then. And we learned how to pitch under the times that we were taught. And they're hard to kind of differentiate. You can't really bring a guy from 25 years ago and bring him in today and expect that he would do the same thing. No doubt about that.
John, great conversation. Have a blast doing the games. We'll be watching. Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for having me.
There you go. John Smoltz, Hall of Famer, MLB Network analyst, in the booth with Buck tonight. As game one descends upon the state of Texas, Globe Life Field, the big bad Dodgers, the upstart, pesky, very talented though, Rays. And you just look all over and there's just athletes with Betts and Bellinger and Arozarena and Lau. And I mean, it should be a fun series, but I've got the Dodgers in. I'm not going to overthink that. Yeah. I think the Dodgers win going away.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they're just deeper.
Their time, T. They got to win. Come on.
That and they're just deeper. You just feel like, yes, you can manipulate, rotations and matchups, Kevin Cash, but at the end of the day, a lot of these Dodgers, lefty lefty, righty lefty, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? They're going to rake at times. And so I think that's where the advantage gets washed away sometimes, when you just have guys that can perform, and they've done it consistently. They haven't won a World Series, but they've done it consistently.
Yeah, and you can't quantify this, but I've seen them in years past go into intimidating venues. Like, it's not just that they're young players who are able to handle their emotions in Tampa. I'm talking about when it's a non-pandemic and there's fans. Like, they've rolled into the Bronx. They've rolled into Fenway. Like, they're just, I don't know, like, so you can quantify 60-yard dash. You can, give a grade to arm strength and hitting prowess and, pitching. You can rate all that with numbers, and you have guns and you have stopwatches, but they also get guys who just are not afraid of the moment. They don't give a damn.
Yeah.
And that is highly impressive.
Agreed.
It's a rare trait, and they are as good at that as anybody in baseball, for sure. All right, Teek, let's get the update. We'll get it from Bob Huesler. Coming up after that, the Titans reportedly will avoid the hammer from the NFL. We'll let you know what's happening there. Do we applaud them, the NFL, or do we maybe say, hey, maybe you had to send a message? We'll do that coming up. Third hour, Chiefs just ran it down the throat of the Bills. Bills are starting to look a little average the last couple of weeks out, and we'll have Charles Davis on the show as well. So we've got a lot of football the rest of the way. Bobby's update right now. Here's Huesler. Hey, Tiki and Tierney back here. Tiki Barber, Brandon Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What's up? It's time now for the Player of the Week, brought to you by Granger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week, Corey Seager. Come on down, Dodgers shortstop. Remember, he was an uber prospect, ripped up his knee, and he's obviously been back, and he has been raking. 3-10 in the 7-game NLCS against the Braves. 5 homers, drove in 11 runs. Even the outs were hit on the screws. So he's looking to stay hot, obviously, as the Dodgers and Rays hook up in the World Series tonight. First pitch, game one, 8:11 Eastern. And that is on Fox with John Smoltz, our buddy who we just had on, and Joe Buck. Buck's in a little controversy, by the way. Him and Aikman caught off off Mike talking about the flyover there. Interesting.
I know.
Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Granger helps your business move forward with supplies and solutions for every industry. Safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Visit Granger.com/recovery. Granger for the ones who get it done. Third hour, we've got Charles Davis, our great, still somewhat new CBS Sports colleague. He is now the analyst on the second squad, right behind Nance and Romo. He's with the Birdman Iron Eagle. And, man, we've been chatting up with Charles going back to his Fox days and his college football days. For years we've had him on the show.
Yep.
And he is a good friend of the show and a good man and a good talent, too. So he's going to have the Titans Steelers coming up on Sunday. Evan Washburn's part of that crew as well. So we'll talk to Charles at around 5:20 Eastern, and also top of the hour, 5 Eastern, in 20 minutes. The Bills got the ball really shoved down their throat. The Chiefs are taking a different approach, which is interesting. And those are all things that we will get to. But let's get to this here, Teek. So the Titans will reportedly avoid major penalties for their actions during, before, and around the COVID outbreak. I actually disagree with this, but I wanted to give you a first crack. The NFL not exactly showing their teeth on this one. What's your first reaction?
I think because it worked out, there wasn't that much damage that was done. There was a lot of rescheduling, because team couldn't play certain games, and the Steelers are now a game behind. Their bye week had to get moved, but it actually kind of worked out from a perceptual standpoint, because you had games that had to go on Tuesdays, which was actually kind of cool. You had extra Monday night games now. You know, it didn't all start and stems, you know, specifically with the Tennessee Titans, because the Patriots had issues, you know, as did a couple of other teams that shut some, that, you know, had some small break outbreaks. But I think it died down, like the vitriol died down, because it actually worked out for the National Football League, for the NFL and their product on air. Now, for the Tennessee Titans in specific, if it seems like that there is just a laxity, and you see this in parts of the country, like when you go down to Florida or other places in the South, North Carolina when I was down there, it's just it's a different like sense of urgency towards protecting yourself, like putting on your mask and you know, washing your hands and staying away from people. It's just looser. And so they didn't take, you know, this protocol that was demanded of NFL franchises as seriously as other places did. So like the Jets and the Giants, you know, for damn sure, you know, they were, don't get close to me. Don't even think about breathing on me. You know what I mean? And so they're giving them a slap on the wrist, basically, as opposed to severe penalties. And I think the reason is because the downstream effect wasn't as bad as it could have been.
You know what, though? I still, this is going to seem a little inconsistent, because you want the punishment to match the quote-unquote crime. I don't think it's that different from, you know, if your child goes in the pantry and you know, like we've got the Halloween, you know, candy that's like put away. Although Daddy kind of broke into it a little bit last night. But
dude, I've been crushing.
Had a couple of little tiny bags of Skittles. Uh-huh. I had to wolf a few of those down at like 9 o'clock. But of course, they're not allowed to.
M&M's, all the good stuff.
Yeah, she's got the M&M's. I'm not a big chocolate guy. I like the sweet stuff. Like I like Swedish Fish or Starburst or Skittles or Lemon Heads. I like that better than chocolate, you know?
Yeah.
Personally, but I know you like your M&M's. You like some of that. What was the chocolate that you used to bring in the studio? The chocolate covered almonds.
Yeah.
Those are good.
Dark chocolate covered almonds.
Those are pretty
good.
When
Tracy goes to, well, I think Wegmans, wherever she gets them, she's like, do you need anything? I'm like, yes, dark chocolate covered almonds. And get
and
two
like
of them.
It's like a monster bin,
it's
right?
It's a huge bin, but she only gets one. And like in 2 weeks, we're done with it.
Oh, 2 weeks. I mean, that's longer than shelf life's going to be in my house. That is for sure. But anyway, like imagine, so, you know, kids aren't allowed to go in there and take it, you know, obviously. But like if they do, and it wouldn't surprise me if he tries, you're not going to put him in his room for a month. You've got to have a punishment that is commensurate with the infraction. Right?
Yes.
Okay. I say that because now I'm going to deviate from that very common point of view. I do think in this instance, it would have been smart to preemptively dissuade all the other teams. Like, you know what, Tennessee? You messed around. You ruined 3-4 other schedules around the league, okay? And because of your insubordination and your lack of, you know, adherence to the principles, the guidelines, the rules, we are making an example of you because we cannot afford anybody else to look at this and say, Titans didn't get punished too harshly. I'll just do what I'm going to do.
Yeah, no,
they missed a messaging moment, and I think that they might lament that down the road.
Yeah, maybe, but I also don't think that other teams are having this issue. Like, for instance, you think about the Patriots outbreak. The issue with them was Cam, and Cam was, it was isolated. And the only reason that Stephon Gilmore, at least this is according to reports, I don't know if this was ever verified, it got tested positive because he went to dinner on that Friday with Cam Newton, or I think it was probably at his house or whatever it was. But
well, there was that whole back and forth with Schefter and then Gilmore's wife or girlfriend.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, it was interesting reporting, but they had a meal together. I think that's all we know. Yeah, we don't know where.
Exactly. But that's kind of how it spread between those two, but it didn't go anywhere else. And Cam, you know, after the fact was like, I have no idea how I got the coronavirus, which is what you hear from a lot of people. They just don't know. You don't know who you came in contact with. But it didn't seem to be widespread. And so, you know, I think those little things that are happening in organizations and on these football campuses or grounds, they're highlighting the dangers of this. Because the reality is, and I think this came out after that Pittsburgh game was postponed for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it was, that, you know, if you don't play, you're not getting paid. And that smashes in the face of these guys, like, really quickly. Like, my game check, which is significant for some of these guys, if I'm not earning that game check, then, you know, I'm mad at somebody. So they're doing the right things.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, listen, let's weave this back in, because this is the story of the day. And we're going to get into the Bills and the Chiefs game at the top of the hour. But the Dallas Cowboys are in complete disarray. I mean, from, you know, Dak being carted off without a contract, to a running back who cannot hold on to the ball, to a defense that gets gashed, to an offensive line that's porous, and now apparently, and I said this to start the show, somewhere, you know, some use some of these words, I guess, a coaching staff that's somewhere between unprepared and incapable of teaching. I mean, you've got unnamed Cowboys right now, according to a tweet from the NFL Network's Gene Slater. Cowboy players initially bought into keeping things internal, but now as they sit here 2-4, the discontent's leaking out. On the coaching staff, quote, totally unprepared, they don't teach, they don't have any sense of adjustments, and they aren't good at their jobs. That's a direct quote from somebody else. So, Teague, when it gets this bad, I know that with Coughlin it was different bad, but it was never about preparation.
No, it wasn't.
He was
about
always prepared.
No, we were prepared. The little things mattered. That's why, you know, it kind of annoyed guys, but it actually made them better. This is the kind of reporting that you usually see, you know, near the end of a relationship, you know what I mean? Of a coach.
A regime.
Yeah, regime.
Yes.
Yeah, regime relates. This is what you see at the end of it, not at the beginning of it, not, you know, guys tuning out this early. Now, you know, I'm trying to think of, like, what could cause this. Is it because, you know, so much of the learning this offseason and its new systems, especially on the defensive side with Mike Nolan? Offensively, I think we hit pretty hard what their issues are on the offensive side, BT. They just, their O-line has gotten bad, like, significantly worse than it was when it was elite. Kellen Moore has been, you know, chucking the rock too much. Now, some of that is necessity because they've been down so badly in the first halves of a lot of games, but I mean, what's the cause of that? You know, why are you throwing so many interceptions? You know, why is there so many turnovers offensively? So somebody's got to be accountable for that. But I think defensively is where we've seen the biggest issue. So I'm going to assume that this reporting from Jane Slater of the NFL Network is mostly talking about Mike Nolan and that defensive staff, because that's where we've seen the Swiss cheese nature of this team, right? They get run through, like, consistently. And I mean, hell, the Giants didn't score for 2 weeks, and 3 weeks, and 2 weeks ago, they put up 31 points. Now, they ended up losing the game, the Giants did, and the Cowboys won. But I mean, it wasn't because, you know, there was a stellar effort by the Cowboys. It was just they had the last possession. So that was the type of game it was. I think this is the defensive side. Mike Nolan has been under fire really for 3 or 4 weeks now. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we see him fired before this season's over, BT.
Oh, I mean, that almost seems, that's to me almost a given.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one thing, I guess, that they have on their side, it's not like they're looking up and one of the teams is 5-1 and they have no shot at a wild card, even with the additional slot, because there's a lot of teams that are playing. Even Carolina's got 3 wins. So it really muddies the water in terms of being able, if you don't win the NFC, you're not going to the playoffs, I guess is what I'm saying. So they've got this, you know, this window where they can try to convince themselves and hey, you know what, it's we can rectify this, it's not that bad, we've got a lot of division games left, and, you know, we'll find a way to get past Philly, and we'll handle the Washington team, and we'll handle the Giants, and, you know, we'll find a way to make something of the season. But I just don't see it now. If Dak was playing, I'd say, all right, there's enough there where maybe they can rip off a few 35-30, 38-35 wins, kind of like they did earlier in their 2 wins. And you can almost justify trying to make something, at least internalizing, that there's still something left of the season. But this season goes nowhere.
Yeah.
This is already – it's October 20th, and I don't give a damn what happens if they fire Nolan tonight or if they don't fire him at all. The Dallas Cowboys are going nowhere.
Yeah, you're right.
Nowhere.
Yeah, you're right. And BT, the crazy thing is, you know, talking about Dak Prescott, I mean, did he make himself more money?
I was thinking that last night.
Right?
I really was.
And you know, you hear him talking about Jerry Jones and, you know, this offensive staff talking about how valuable they now see Dak Prescott, and they didn't want to pay him the deal because they couldn't afford it. They had paid too many other people. Zeke and Amari Cooper, and you know, at the end of the day, Dak is the franchise, man, and you didn't take care of him, and now that he's gone, you're really like, man, what are we missing? So yeah, would he have gotten hurt if he had the contract? Probably, because that's just circumstance. But it makes you realize how valuable he is to this offense. Because at least with Dak Prescott, you felt like you had a chance to win, you know, and you did. Even when you played as horribly as they have played, you know, almost every game, they played horrible, but Dak Prescott gives you a chance to win. Andy Dalton, if you're behind, he's not that player. He doesn't have that kind of talent. And, you know, they don't have that offense around him good enough to do those things.
Yeah, but now what happens? So this is a, you know, a 6 or a 7-win season, roughly. Then we go back into the offseason, and all the conversation turns to Dak's worth and certainly Dak's rehab, but eventually Dak's contract, and they'll get that done. And then we enter next season, and, you know, the Cowboys dominate the airwaves again after a year of doing not a damn thing once again. I mean, there is nobody that, like, if you're just using a scoreboard, judging the amount of time spent versus the amount of time earned in terms of accomplishment,
yeah,
there is nothing more disproportionate than the amount of time that we give the Dallas Cowboys on. And everybody, we're not alone.
Yeah,
I mean, that's all Skip talks about. I mean, First Take hits it hard. I mean, it's Dallas, so I get it. Not like we're doing anything wrong. But, you know, I used the word recalibrate, you know, yesterday, that, you know, every Sunday's kind of a day of recalibration in the NFL. And maybe we just eventually need to recalibrate how we cover these Cowboys, because every year we do it, and every year they do nothing.
Yeah, it's true.
America's got to be tired of it.
Yeah, I mean, they're still touted as America's team, but they haven't won anything significant in a really long time.
But do the ratings back that up? Do the ratings back up that touting like they used to? I don't think that they do. Not the way they used to.
I don't think so. I mean, I'm the farthest thing from a Cowboys fan. And the interest is only because I think they're good, and professionally, obviously. But at the end of the day, they always let you down. So even if you're like on the fence and you're agnostic, you still watch them, and you're like, dude, they're just bad, right? And then, if any other team was like that, you wouldn't watch them. You wouldn't care.
You wouldn't tune in.
So do they ever get to the point where they become, you know, like the Browns of old? I doubt it, but. I mean, the product's got to get better.
And listen, Teague,
it's just frustrating to watch them.
I'll be the first to admit that, you know, I mean, obviously as a fan of the team that I root for, they get even a little bit more run on this show than they deserve, because they're horrendous and they're not America's team. But, I mean, at least I know when to cut the cord. I mean, I'll give you the Darnold reference. I'll make fun of them. I'll lose my mind here and there. It happens once a year. But I'm not going to ramrod, you know, an in-depth talk about the Jets. At least I know what the expiration point is. I mean, Dallas, they could be 3-9, and we're going to be sitting here saying, well, you know, I got a chance. Eagles haven't run away with it. It's this mystique that at this point, at least for a full generation, is no longer justified.
Yeah.
Haven't won since the 90s. No? All right, Teague, third hour coming up. All right, the Bills fading a little bit. Are you worried up there in Western New York? And the Chiefs running it big time. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.